Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Kadampa Center on our last Sunday of 2018. Everybody's clapping. Okay. And as recommended by our teachers, Lama Zopa Rinpoche and Geshe Gelug, we'll begin with some meditation. And said that by starting with a little bit of meditation, calming our mind, developing a little bit of focus, we will get more benefit from the teachings and discussion that follow. And our teachers in particular emphasize that we meditate on compassion. And the Buddhist definition of compassion, as most people know, is the wish that others be free of suffering. And that's an enormous wish and sometimes hard to cultivate that thought in our mind with everything that's going on. But I think as one of the steps to developing compassion, and particularly appropriate this time of year, when everything's been so rushed and so much is going on, the first thing we can do is remember the kindness of others. And certainly over the last couple weeks, we've appreciated some kindness from others, our friends and our family members, certainly, from those who have made the holiday season possible. But then there are an incredible number of people whom we don't usually acknowledge, whose works we have benefited from. If we traveled over the holidays, the pilots on the plane, the attendants, those who actually built the plane, if we traveled on the highways, those who built the roads, those who built the cars. So in so many ways, we have benefited from the work of others. And the life that we lead now would not be possible without the work of others. So let's just take a couple minutes and think quietly to ourselves about the innumerable ways that we have benefited from others over the past couple weeks. And when we think in this way about how we have benefited from the kindness of others, I think it's pretty natural. This is something we don't have to work on. This kind of arises spontaneously, the wish to repay their kindness, to do something in return. And that wish is not really compassion, but it is a valid and completely justified wish that we want to repay the kindness of others. And if we think deeply about that, the greatest thing that we can do for others, for all those countless sentient beings who have benefited us, the greatest thing we can give back to them is not money or material goods, but is to develop our own mental qualities, our qualities of wisdom, an understanding of reality, and compassion, the wish that others not suffer. So the greatest good, even though it seems a little bit difficult to express. The greatest thing we can do for all these countless beings who have benefited us is to develop our own mind. So let's just think for a moment along those lines. And having set that aspiration, the wish to develop our mind so that we can return the kindness of others, we'll begin with our prayers led by Venerable Lama.
Thank you for that wonderful bodhicitta motivation. So let's start on page 34 in the Gold Prayer Book with Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times. And if you don't have the Gold Prayer Book but we have a white binder, just go to the first page titled Kadampa Center Prayers. Te ata om ne mune maha mune ye soha te ata om ne mune maha mune ye soha te ata om ne mune maha mune ye soha. And now the Medicine Buddha stanza and mantra is on the blue sheet in the white binder. So let's read the stanza and then let's chant the mantra below it seven times. Bhagawan with equal compassion for all, whose name when merely heard dispels the suffering of the lower realms, dispeller of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to Medicine Buddha, Lapis Light. Te yata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, radza samugate soha. Te yata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, radza samugate soha. Te yata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, radza samugate soha. Te yata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, radza samugate soha. Te yata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, radza samugate soha. Te yata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, radza samugate soha. Te yata om bekanze, bekanze, maha bekanze, bekanze, radza samugate soha. Now below you see the four immeasurables, so let's read that in English three times. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering, the cause of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now please turn to page 37, and at the bottom of the page there are two mantras. So let's chant Chenrezig's mantra 8 times. He's the Buddha of great compassion. And then Green Tower's mantra 7 times, and she's the deity of enlightened activity. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Good morning. Good morning. Please, would you mind take a few minutes to introduce yourself to each other? A few minutes. Yeah. Kambro, Nepal, Kathmandu. Yeah. Your father?
Father-in-law.
And
my mother-in-law.
Oh, namaste. Namaste.
They're very happy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very good. That's your instruction. Introduce each other. That's your instruction.
What?
Your advice.
Oh, I know.
Introduce each other. Oh yeah, thank you very much. sorry to interrupt your wonderful conversation. Yeah, but there's very limited time here. I just want to share with you some like something about the prayer that we say at the beginning of the class. First one we say, four immeasurable. For the sake of knowledge, four immeasurables, you know, that's very typical, how you say, part of the practice, every practice that you do in Buddhism, that you begin with refuge in bodhicitta prayers. So then after that you recite this, what we call four immeasurable prayers. That is very important, you know. So, I say, in order to, to make your life more meaningful, your existence, you know, on this planet, makes more meaningful. And also feel some purpose for your life. And I feel important, feel purpose, feel meaningful for your own existence, you know, for your own life, for immeasurable. So it's very, for immeasurable, practice is critical part of that. The first one is called immeasurable love. Something is very important. Far more important than believing in something, you know, or believing in. Doesn't sound like Bolivia. So my pronunciation is not that good. In my ear it sounds like Bolivia. Believing in something is, you know, immeasurable love is far more greater than that. If we practice immeasurable love, so that I think the world is going to be a better place to live, you know, if everybody practice immeasurable love. That's the first one. Called Champa Tseme. Champa, in Tibetan word, Champa means love. Champa Tseme. Tseme means there's no measure, immeasurable love, which is badly needed in our world. Then the second one is called immeasurable compassion. That's also very important. So, it heals you, it heals everybody from the sufferings. So very critical. In order to feel importance, feel purpose, feel meaningful, your own existence, these four practices are very critical. It's nothing to do with the Buddhism. It's very much laid out. Those four practices just to benefit you. Then immeasurable joy. Yeah, you do get joy if you practice immeasurable love, immeasurable compassion. You do get joy. Yeah, you get joy. Even though you live in Himalayan mountains, middle of nowhere, your heart is going to fill with joy because of practicing immeasurable love, immeasurable compassion. Then you get a lot of joy. When you get joy, then there will be less health problems, less problem in the mind, less problem in the body. So that's the benefit, the temporary benefit. Immeasurable joy. Then the last one is called immeasurable equanimity. So when you say, then you say in that order, immeasurable love, immeasurable compassion, immeasurable joy, then immeasurable equanimity. So when you put into practice, then you practice begin with the immeasurable equanimity. Then when you put into practice, then you start with the equanimity. You know, right now our mind is not equal. You know, the person you call is a friend, person you call is a stranger, person you call the enemy. So our minds are not equal. Then it's hard to develop, you know, immeasurable love, immeasurable compassion. It's hard to develop your mind if your mind is not equal towards those three individual beings. So these are, you know, very critical part of our life to feel meaningful, feel purpose, feel importance, your own existence on this planet. So then if you practice those four things, then you feel importance, you feel purpose, you feel your life is meaningful. So just want to share. No, just want to share. Okay, just want to share. So that's why we say, and hopefully, eventually, those as a, what you call this practice, eventually it will sink into our heart. So then we see world differently. We see world differently. So then you see, when you look around, you see every single person in this room looking for happiness. Every single. Nobody is looking for sufferings. Nobody. No Buddhist, Christian, believer, non-believer, atheist, everybody looking for happiness. Every single person in this room, on this planet, every second looking for happiness. Do we understand that? Do we understand that? Including yourself. Everybody looking for happiness. Every single second, everybody looking for happiness. On that base, we are equal. We are same. You don't have extra reason to be happy, same. Even the slightest problems, nobody wants. Nobody. Nobody wants. So that's the reality. That's the reality. Nothing to do with the religion. That's the reality. So based on that reality, if you practice immeasurable love, immeasurable compassion, then your heart will feel, your heart will fill with joy. That joy then increase tremendously. So it become unmeasurable joy. just want to share with you, okay, so why we said that in the beginning of the class, that's the reason why we say, I think it's important, it's very important. So then we say two types of mantra, so I just said that last time, I just want to repeat that again here today. Om Mani Padme Hum, that's very, like I said, that's the mantra of compassion. So this is called handheld prayer wheel. This prayer wheel filled with millions of compassion mantras. When you turn, so then you think about the betterment of every living beings. Betterment of every living beings. Then you turn. So then you feel purpose. You feel your life has some meaning. You're doing something for every betterment of every living beings. You're doing something for betterment of every living beings. Oh, that's what you're thinking in your mind. So that makes you realize that your existence has meaning, some meaning. You can do something, you know, some contributions to the betterment of humanity. And this is called mantra of compassion, or Mani Padme Hum, that's what we say. And I'm very much hoping so that part of that mantra, when you say, if somebody hears, even though you don't say, if someone hears, so they get benefit. That benefit will help them to develop compassion. So that's why we say, okay, compassion mantra. So then second one, Tara mantra, there's 21 of them. You see, this is all the statues here, invited from Nepal, all of them, all the statues just came from Nepal. So today we have two here. From Nepal, so welcome. So, spirituality is very much alive in Nepal. Very much alive in Nepal. When you visit some of them, you only visit there, you see so many. Spirituality is very much alive. So that the whole land is very much blessed because of the many holy objects that are located in Nepal. So many holy objects. So the land is very much blessed. And so hopefully someday you can visit. So it's a very nice place to go. Also cheap. Don't Americans like as everybody likes, not just American, yeah. Uh, is good, not just chili, it's good. All the food is very good. Not just chili is good. And some of the chili is not necessarily as good. Their chili is also very good. Quality-wise, is very good. And, you know, so people seem like very happy. So you go there, then you wonder why they seem like very happy. So you, here in the West, you have so much, but doesn't mean they are more happier here. There, they don't have much, but people seem like very happy. So so then they need to ask question why, you know, same human beings, physically, mentally, same. So then, you know, probably you'll get probably as a life-changing experience or eye-opening experience being in that part of the world and look around and what people have, you know, then so they're kind of like, as a, they're pretty much content with what they have. So then the matter of compassion, okay. So then the second one, that with Tara, you know, Tara, I've just said talking about Tara. So here, 21 Taras, you know, statues, and also there's many holy sites of Tara, Mother Tara in Nepal. So then, you know, there's a Tara mantra to bring success in our life, to bring success in our life. So then the last mantra that we say is like Medicine Buddha mantra. Medicine Buddha mantra is called Medicine Buddha mantra. Actually, it's healing practice. So I'm not sure how much you believe in healing practice. How many of you believe in healing practice? Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good number. Not all of them, but so you see here that image here that Tanga is made in Mongolia. So that dark blue color Buddha. That's called Medicine Buddha. Oh, that's Medicine Buddha. So then you see there are seven of them. So that's the kind of healing practice that you do in Buddhism. So, so the same thing. Every single mantra is this. Mantra is very sacred word. It has sacred meaning. It's a sacred word. So when you say somebody here, they also get benefit. Believe or not, but hard to, how to say, hard to prove. I don't have proof, I have to prove, but it always feels good when you say it. So that I can say. That's only I can say, but no proof. So then you do healing practice in America, so I visited a couple of church many years ago in Virginia, so the church, they do some kind of healing practice, but they don't necessarily recite something. They touch their hand and they make circles. You know, any like that's all different types of healing practice. And here, particularly in Buddhism, they know healing. So when you hear healing practice, then always, usually, generally speaking, refers to healing physical problems, right? Healing physical problems. So that's called ne. Ne means sicknesses. So then, what's the difference here is like de. So I'm not sure like how many of you are believing in obstacles. How many of you believe in obstacles? Oh, that's good. There's more head is raised. So now let's talk about what is obstacles. What is obstacles? Now every Sunday I beg you to put question here. But so far, there's no question. So then I end up asking questions. So then I get some break. So now, what is obstacles? There, what is obstacles? Huh? Something to think about. What is obstacles? So then there. So when in the end of the mantra recitation, that's what you visualize. You know, so power of the mantras. So power of the mantra heals, purifies, or remove sicknesses, then obstacles dig deep. So then all the negative karmas dig deep. So they kind of request to purify or remove sicknesses, obstacles, all the negative actions. So then the medicine Buddha dissolves into your body. So then your body become, you know, like I say, your body is completely healed. Not just body, and also same in the simultaneously, also like kind of has the cleansing. That, you know, practice the cleansing of the body and mind, you know, body and mind, not just body and mind. So maybe we'll talk a little bit about obstacles. What is obstacles? It's not a quiz. No quiz. If you don't mind to share, what is obstacles? If you don't mind to share, what is the obstacle? How many different types of obstacles? What are obstacles? How many different types of obstacles? Is obstacle only coming from people? Obstacles come from all kinds of ways, or it's only like people cause obstacles? We need to discuss, so give me some breaks. if you want to say something, please do.
Well, first I'd like to say that I think there's external obstacles and internal obstacles.
Mm.
And it's whatever hindrance gets in your way of maybe seeing reality.
Hindrance, what is hindrance?
Hindrance, something, another, a word for obstacle, I guess. But it could be the physical world, and it's anything that prevents you from achieving that happiness or having clear vision, clear sight. Or the internal, whatever sort of obstacles are inside you, also prevent you from having that clear vision, clear sight, seeing reality as it is.
There's two, external, internal. Oh, yeah. Very good, wonderful.
Just my opinion.
Yeah. Tell me.
I have a question, and I hope it's not stupid. If I refuse to recognize an obstacle as an obstacle, does it matter where it comes from, or do I have to understand it if I just refuse it? If I have a big bill and no money, my perception can tell me many things about that situation. If I recognize that it's no obstacle, do I have to understand
the big bill?
No, that it's an obstacle. Does it matter where its origin is if I don't recognize it?
Anybody want to answer? Yeah, please do. Anybody want to answer?
Who's that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you don't recognize something as an obstacle, then perhaps it is not an obstacle. Some people are ill, and they don't see it as a terrible, terrible, terrible thing as an outsider would see it necessarily.
Yeah, of course, it all boils down on the perceptions. It all boils down to perceptions. Oh, yeah, so as you like say, not rejecting if something happens, not like necessarily rejecting them as an obstacle, but I think that's a little bit different. Not seeing as obstacles or rejecting or refusing. Refusing as obstacles, or not seeing that as obstacles, or maybe seeing there's something good. Even though generally speaking, people will say, oh, it's not good. But for you, you know, it's good things. You know, good things. So that happens. So that means that person see that as not as obstacle. They see that person probably learn how to transform that, how you say, undesirable circumstance. Might be a big bill. Could be a big bill, so no, any things. Person learn over the time, that person learn how to transform that into something that leads that person to greater place, higher levels, whether it could be physical problems, could be problems, you know, external problems that related to, so like some invisible beings. Rather than getting angry, that person learned how to develop compassion. So then develop compassion. So that power of the compassion transforms that obstacle into something that leads you to higher level. So that is very possible. So not refusing, but seeing from different way of looking at. That's very possible over the period of time. Yeah.
This reminds me of when years ago I was a special ed teacher in the Ozarks of Arkansas, very poor area, and there was a little boy named Alvin who had one leg that was a lot shorter than the other, and he had a really significant limp. But this little boy was the happiest child. He'd come in and he'd just laugh and play and run with the other children like there was nothing wrong. And one day one of the teachers said to him, "Alvin, does that bad leg bother you?" And he stopped and he looked down and he said, "Which one's the bad one?"
Well, that's a very good one, yeah.
That was a matter of attitude.
Sure. That's good, that's very good, yeah.
I just wanted to say something about pain, physical pain. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Robbie can probably speak more intelligently about this, but there are people who are unable to feel pain. It's actually a medical condition. Mm. And you would think, oh, wow, wouldn't that be great? You know, you burn your hand or you have some pain, you can't feel it, so you don't have to suffer. But these people don't tend to live very long because they can't recognize the pain, so they can't do anything about it to overcome the pain or cure the pain. And I think this is true many times in our lives where we don't want to recognize. I like to think of obstacles as challenges. I like to solve problems. That's what I do with my life, is solve problems, and I enjoy it. Whether they're my problems or other people's problems, I get tremendous energy and joy from doing that. So rather than think of obstacles, I always think about solving problems. It's an opportunity for me to do something of benefit to others when I see it. So I don't really look at them as obstacles so much.
Oh, wonderful. Very good, yeah. So how, like, that happened? Like, people don't feel pain?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the medical condition.
Do they take some drugs or no?
No. Yeah, born that way.
Oh, that's very interesting.
So there was in the basement of the old center, when you walk in there, we had it on the wall. We used to print stuff on the wall. We don't do it anymore, but we, anyway, you walk in the door and it said, "Cherish problems, i.e. obstacles. Cherish problems. They're the source of all of your present and future happiness." This is a quote from Lama Zopa. So it's like, yeah, so our attitude about obstacles or problems is we want to push them away, we have aversion, but, you know, the Buddhist teachings, the Buddhist approach is not to push them away, but actually to see them as golden opportunities to, as this gentleman was saying, to develop our inner qualities, perseverance, patience, you know, to see them as basically confirming the teachings and, hey, this is the nature of our existence, is problems. But, you know, what is your word, Geshe-la? Not obstacles, but
complications,
yes. What is Geshe-la's word for dukkha, suffering? It's complications. So that's one thing I think is, so obstacles are, as you said, like, perception is everything. We either see it as something to be, you know, to get away from and to hate and to feel aversion toward, or an opportunity to develop inner strength and further ourselves along the path. The other thing that is interesting in the teachings too is that we think of certain mind states. Anyway, in the 51 mind and mental factors teachings, they talk about anything that disturbs the peace of mind, anything that disturbs our tranquility of mind is an obstacle. You know, we ordinarily, like in this culture, we think, oh, excitement, that's a good thing, yeah, or certain things that happen that, you know, that get the mind all revved up are actually good and not obstacles. So we often race after situations. I think right now there are probably a couple of million people down in Disney World getting excited about being down there. That's okay. But it is, you know, from a Buddhist perspective, anything that disturbs the peace of mind is an obstacle to peace of mind. So being aware, if we're trying to develop that mind state, being aware of those situations and mind states that disturb our mind, that's important too. End of story.
Oh, very good, wonderful. Dr. Brown, you said that when people come to the old center, there's no pain?
I came here a little late, so I hope I'm not totally off of the subject. Mm-hmm. But something that kind of resonates with me a lot, that you spoke many times about everything being transitory. Not everything's temporary. Nothing stays the same. Mm-hmm. The pain and the happiness, everything kind of moves. It's fluid. And so that is every time there is a challenge or an obstacle, I always focus on that, because everything is, and even when I'm happy, I focus on that too, to not be overwhelmed with that. And one thing that I realized that, and I learned that all the qualities that we search to have for ourselves or for our children, like resilience, strength, all of them, to build that, you have to go through pain. You can be resilient if you don't suffer. You know, you can be strong if you don't. And even to be happy or kind, compassionate, you have to experience the other side in order to appreciate and to learn how to deal with that. So I think that's...
Oh, very good, wonderful. Thank you. So...
as the treasurer of our center, I could speak about a kind of obstacle we've had over the last few months, and that is we usually have a lot of donations at the end of one year and the beginning of the next, and then as the year wears on and it gets around to about August, we have a deficit, and we had a big deficit this year. It was about $40,000. So in other words, in 8 months, we had spent 10 months worth of donations. And the checking account balance was headed towards zero. And of course, to those of us on the board, this looks like quite an obstacle and quite a problem. But of course, it's also an opportunity to explain the situation and call upon members for their generosity, which, in fact, there's been a tremendous response to our annual appeal this year, and many donations have come in that there is no deficit anymore. There's quite the opposite.
Oh, that's good.
But I think this just illustrates that so often in life we fear a situation, we don't want to think about it, we don't really want to get that report and see how bad it is, and then we're going to have to try to do something. But then when you try, when you require yourself to try to solve the problem. You actually eliminate the obstacle and achieve success. So I'm happy that we have.
Well, thank you. That's a very good example.
This is just something funny. One time I was sitting next to Brian, and I used to study together, and one of our pals, who I won't say who it was, we were sitting right there, and I think the SBC handed out these little slips that we were going to do prayers to remove obstacles from Rinpoche. Mm. And we were all so new, and we're trying to say him, and he leans over and he goes, "I sure hope money isn't an obstacle, because I don't want it to be removed."
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah. So,
I'm a newbie, and something I have on my wall at home is a card with a little drawing, and it says, "My barn having burned down, I can now see the moon." Uh-huh. And that has really touched my heart. I love it. Thank you.
Oh, very good. Wonderful. That's good. Yeah. Oh, that's very good teaching today. So... Yeah.
One of the things that I'm learning from the teachings is that when obstacles present themselves, they're often a reminder of my ignorance. Mm. And that is one of the tenets that we're working to dispel through thoughtful analysis and meditation and practice.
Very good. So we give them all of them like big round. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for sharing your thought. Wonderful thought, yeah. Good. I was wondering, like, from quantum physics point of view, what they think about pain or obstacles. Do they ever analyze obstacles? So they do analyze, you know, matters, right? Matters. They analyze, then in the end, probably they say, "Is there nothing?" Do they say there's nothing or there's something? Quantum physics.
Always changing.
Huh?
Always changing.
So, say, when they analyze this, so then it becomes like particles, then there's like all kinds of names. I don't know. I did try to learn, but so my brain's getting old. So, so then they come down to small particles, then you can, eventually you can, how you say,
divide.
Then.
Mostly space.
Huh?
Mostly space.
Right. Yeah.
There's nothing there. It's all space.
It
becomes energy.
It's energy.
But there, you said there's only space, there's nothing?
There's only space between the particles.
Oh. So I was wondering, how if you apply that same logic to pain or obstacles, what happens? Yeah, they analyze matters, of course, then they kind of like divided, then they become like small atoms, so then you can't divide now anymore. It's like too tiny, too subtle. So then, can you do the same thing to the obstacle or pain? So that's one, So there are other things like... The power of mind. You remember there are some people, they walk on coal, hot coal. Mm-hmm. Hot coal, people walk on, do they feel pain?
No.
How? Why?
Mind over matter.
So that's something very important to think about.
It's
They walk on coal. I'm not sure how fast they walk, but they do walk on hot coal with the barefoot and do this, feel pain. So my opinion is because the power of the mind, is very possible that you may not feel pain. Doesn't mean it's not there, but it's there, but you don't feel pain because your mind is, your whole attention is placed on something than pain. So the people who are getting a tattoo, do they feel pain?
Yes.
Not afterward, when they are getting it. Or like not just small tattoo, like whole back, colorful tattoo on whole back. So yeah, so I hope that my friend is not watching online. I will say his name, but so yeah, of course it all boils down to the perceptions. How you look at things, so kind of perception. So maybe there's one way to help us to analyze when we feel pain, obstacle. What is obstacle? What is pain? If we analyze, start to analyze, same like science, you know, when they analyze the matter, and eventually their conclusion is there's nothing. There's nothing. There's just space. There's nothing. Could that happen to the pain, or physical pain, or obstacles? Oh, just wondering. Yeah, the power of the mind. Power of the mind. So I'll tell you one story. So if you don't mind, tell you one story. Probably some of you already heard that story. In the monastery, there's no movie theater. In the monastery, there's no movie theater. There's no televisions, you know, so... So when I was like 13, 14 in the monastery, so I was there when I was 7, I was there. So till you know, I came here, I was in the monastery, went there when I was 7 years old. So of course as a boy that you always want to, you know, everybody trying so hard to get something that you don't have, you know. So in the monastery, so there's no movie theater, there's no televisions. So... But a small town, not very far from the monastery, there's a small town, so the village, they show, like, I think, like, some shops, you know, so you go there, you pay, like, small amount of money, so you go there, there's tiny TV, they're like this, you pay some money, you go there, you watch a movie, then you come out, you know, so there's no sofa seat, nothing, it's just, you sit on the floor, pay there. So one time, like, one of the, I think, my teacher was elected as a discipliner who looked at the discipline of the monks. So he went out of town. So me and my friend, he's in New York. He's in New York, no longer monk, but he's in New York. So him and me, so we took advantage. We said, okay, let's go. We just pretend from the house, from the Egyptian house, we just pretend we are going to class, but we just went out. There's no money, we just have enough money to pay for tickets. That's all the money we have, with a little bit extra. So then we ran through the cornfield. We have in monastery also like has like 150 acres of cornfield that monks walk there. So then, you know, all the people around there, they all have cornfields. So the corn is very much grown there. So when, after the corn is cut, everything, then, you know, you plow the ground. You know, it's all rough. There's no, like, the bottom of the, how is it, corn, stalks, and there's wood, or who knows, whatever's there, and there's also snake. So anyway, we ran through the field, kind of a shortcut. We ran through the field. Then you have to get there a certain time, otherwise, you know, the movie will start. Went there, and, you know, watched the movie, then still there's anxiety, not anxiety, to get back before class finish. So there's no, so they went there, ran through, So because we go to work in the cornfield 15 days a year, so we do have like your clothes, you know, like pull over in the pant. So we will wear that, put all the rope, tie it. So put the rope somewhere there, so then we ran through the rain. So finish the watching movie, they finish, then got a little hungry, then got into some restaurant there, so it's like probably 10 o'clock at night. All of a sudden, one senior monk walked into the restaurant, also one senior monk who works for the monastery, you know, who runs the monastery, he has to go do a lot of business, you know, get food from the town. He came in and he said, "Why you guys are here at night, late night?" And we just froze. There's a and I started lying. So I said, "One of our students ran away from the monastery. We came to look for him." And he knows. I don't say, After probably a couple of minutes, we beg him not to tell our teachers that we kind of feel that he knows that we are lying. So anyway, so I came back. So then when we came back home, so then after the class, you know, it's still going on, came home, then there's all kind of cuts in the foot, many cuts from the stone and from the, who knows what, no shoes. And you feel the pain. When you run, probably it's all the cuts when you're running there, because your mind is 100% focused on, like, to get there. That's all your attentions. So I experienced that, so that was interesting, you know, like, then when you come back, then you kind of relax, oh, now nobody knows, we watch the movie, class is not finished, they came back, then pretend that we just came back from class, then you feel pain, then there's many cuts here, there. So that's one thing, there's a power of mind, I think, power of mind, that is true. So therefore, as you mentioned, like even though there are some kind of physical obstacles that are caused by people, spirit, and because over the period of time they learn how to look at them from the positive mindset. And instead of, you know, causing them harm, it does something good for them to utilize that and to reach high stage, you know, so transforming undesirable events. Transforming undesirable event into something that makes you, that probably leads you in, like, in the better place. That's what Prabhupada says. Kenge lamdulaya dhamma. Could you send your instructions how to transform undesirable event, or how to accept undesirable event and transform that into the one of your own. So of course, you know, that does require the deeper understanding of causality, karma, it requires, okay. So now the sorry, the time's the question. It all boils down to perceptions, you know, so perceptions. So we see things, then you believe, and not just believe, then you project. So then you bind around that, like, things, and not just bind very tightly and project. Then we don't analyze. All going to come down to perceptions. Nava simply rashes. Nava means all the appearances. Whether it's a positive or negative, all the appearances is the nature of mind. The nature of mind is empty. Now our symptoms, so the mind has no shape, no color. It's just the nature of the mind is it's like space. It's like space. Nature of mind is like space. Or you can say nature of mind is like clear sky. Clear sky. Then all the clouds, they kind of represent the reflections. Reflection on that clear sky is just there temporarily. So you are going to see clear sky. So therefore, you know, so that's what we say in Buddhism, precious human life. Your life is precious. If you think, oh, my life is no meaning, not worth it, or this is blah, 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 that's like misconceptions. So from the Buddhism, from Buddha natures, you know, nature of mind is clear, like sky, like, you know, clear space, sky. So very, very important to recognize that. So it's just, you know, temporarily polluted. It's like diamond hidden under the dirty cloth. Dirty cloth?
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, oh, there's no diamond because you don't see. No, no, there is diamond. There is diamond under. You have to discover. When you open the dirty cloth, then there's diamond. So that diamond is pure. It's right from the beginning. It doesn't become impure because it's covered by dirty cloth. It doesn't become impure. It's just, you know, covered by dirty cloth. But nature of the diamond is pure. So same like, you know, true nature of the mind is what we call Buddha natures. Everybody in NASA is there. How you say in America, everybody got shot? How you say? Everybody. Chance. Sometimes they say,
everyone has a shot.
Yeah, everybody has a shot. Yeah, that's how you say in America. Yeah, everybody has chance. Everybody has chance to discover their true natures. So then last Sunday, what we discussed based on this, you know, 7-point mind training text. 7-point mind training text. So the need to watch elephant. Our elephant. Is there elephant in the room? According to Buddhism, all the time, not just once a while. According to Buddhism, there's elephant in the room all the time. Elephant. Oh, so that elephant needs to be trained. Oh. Then you need to catch that elephant. So this 7-point mind training test is to help you how to master your thought. Any circumstance, not like if everything is going well, not just that. Any circumstance, that text teach you how to master your thought. So then, you know, there's many different messages here. So last Sunday, I guess there's not many people like here. Last Sunday, what we discussed, it began with, so we talked, last Sunday we discussed about what is the cause for happiness. What's the cause for happiness? If you believe that happiness is random things, so then generally speaking, there's not much hope. It might happen, it may not happen. There's nothing you can do. If it's not random, it's very interdependent. Interdependent? Mm-hmm. If the happiness is very interdependent, so then the question is, what is the cause? What is the cause of happiness? What is the cause? Something to think about, quite important, something to think about, cause. So then that link to Shantideva's text, Guide to Buddhist Way of Life, what Shantideva said. Deva Dvejang, Timu De Rangi Deva Dravajams, Deva Dvejangs. Even though you wish or you have desire for happiness, Deva Dvejangs. Even though you have desire or wish for happiness, but you destroy your happiness like your own enemy. Shantideva said, something to pay attention, need to probably pay attention, you know. So I don't think that, when I ask myself, when I have questioned myself, do you destroy your happiness like your enemy? My answer is no. I don't destroy my happiness like my enemy. So then what Shankara was saying, what he's trying to say, Deva Dejam, Deva, that's happiness in Tibetan, Deva Dejam, Deva means desire or wish. Out of ignorance, or out of misconceptions, probably that's a better way to put it, out of misconceptions or misunderstanding, or there's so many things to say, misconception, what is better, which one is better, misconceptions, ignorance, misconception, which one is better, probably they're both same,
both good.
They're both good to have. out of ignorance or misconception, then you destroy your happiness like your own enemy. So what really Shantideva was trying to say, something to think about, what is the cause of happiness? What is the cause of happiness? That probably message from the 7-point mindfulness test linked to Shantideva's test, God is the way of life. Deva Dejam, even though you have wished for happiness, but you destroyed your happiness like enemy out of ignorance. So, now what Shantideva was trying to say? Shantideva was not saying, oh, you have to believe in Buddhism. Not saying that. It's very practical. All the Shantideva message is very practical. It's nothing to become Buddhist or not become Christian or become believer. It's nothing to do with that. It's something to do with our mind. If you have mind, you'll get benefit listening to Shantideva's message. Oh. Then there's something to think about. Okay, me and all my friends, something to think about. What is the cause of happiness? That's what we discussed last Sunday. What's the cause? So then we come with the conclusions that, you know, we all agree that, you know, doing something positive. Doing something positive physically, mentally, verbally, that's the cause for happiness. In Buddhism, what is called merit. Merit, that is merit. That's merit. That's the cause for happiness. So now, opposite, doing something negative, physically, mentally, verbally, doesn't matter. If you are Buddhist, if you consider yourself Buddhist, if you're doing something negative, physically, mentally, verbally, there will be result. Not because you are Buddhist, result is going to be something good. No. The result is going to be bad. You can't say, how come that's not fair because I'm Buddhist? It doesn't matter. If you're atheist, doesn't matter. If you're Buddhist, doesn't matter. If you're believing something, doesn't matter. If you're not believing something, doesn't matter. You know? So that's why I said, believing something, that's not important. What is important is everybody should practice loving kindness, compassion, care. That is more important than anything else. You get immense benefit. Then of course every major religion traditions teach that. So we all agree with the cause of happiness is not doing something positive. That's the second one. There's 4 different practices in that one stanza. The second one is, then we discuss about the confession. So then, no question here. Then I ask them 4 questions. Some of you are here. I say, what is confessions? How to confess? Why we confess? For what? That's what we discussed last Sunday. What is confessions? Why we confess, how we confess, for what? Then the conclusion probably came down, if I summarize, it came down on healing yourself. Healing yourself. So then, what is confession? Then there's many, many, you know, like different like the ideas about what is confession. So, so now the second maybe tumor. Then that I that the stanza Joshi de Tabji Chos Joshi de four practice is which is like four practice which is. The best method probably to has the to keep your mind positive. That's what it says. Then the first one, cause, so doing something positive. The second one is confession or purification practice. So please, you also think about that. Okay, what is confession? How we confess? Why we confess? For what? Think about that. Think about that. Maybe next Sunday you can share. Oh. So then, so then the, I'll go, let me go through it, maybe like briefly explain from the Buddhist point of view what is confession. So then, in order to confess, it requires four powers. Power of object, power of, what is it called, dependence? Power of dependence. When you fall down on the ground, then you stand up from the ground, similar. So that comes forgiveness, asking forgiveness, apologies, all of that. The power that if you hurt someone, so then you're asking forgiveness. So nothing is easy. Nothing is easy. So everything requires effort and understanding. Everything requires effort and understanding. For sake of your own happiness and sake of bottom line, sake of your own happiness and sake of happiness for others. Oh, that I need to understand. So see, like power of dependence. Oh. So then, there's one first power. I just want to go briefly. If you are, you know, wondering what the purification practice sounds like or seems like in Buddhism, so then I'll explain you briefly. Also, the four powers, power of dependence. So then, as a power of actually, it's regret, not guilt. Not guilt, regret. You regret towards something you did wrong, you regret, then regret become positive. You regret towards something you did good, then regret become negative. Regret can be both, positive, negative. Regretting towards something negative purifies. Believe it or not, it purifies. When you regret, it purifies. So, among those four antidotes, the regret is the most important one. Regret. So then, after that, you know, regret, and you regret while you are doing. You know, there are many different ways of doing practice. You know, reciting medicine Buddha mantra. According to Buddhism, reciting sutras, reciting mantras, meditating on compassion, loving kindness, emptiness. Then, you know, cleaning around the gompa, cleaning around the stupa, building holy object. So then cleaning around the holy object, then going around the holy object purifies. So therefore we build the stupa here for you. We build, Kadamasala built. Going one round, it's like less than 1 minute. Not that difficult. Do you have any ideas how much that karma, negative karma, purifies that? Because this object contains relics inside. It's not just hollow. There are so many relics inside the stupa. So when you go around one round. So that's why, you know, it's not that difficult to purify. Or you don't need to sit down 24 hours to purify. Don't know. Don't feel like, oh, I have to say some kind of mantra. No, you don't have to say some kind of mantra. there are so many different ways to purify. You go around the stupa, we go one round. That's how this object becomes so holy over time. There's like thousands and thousands of people. There's one in Nepal, there's two of them in Nepal. You know, Bodh Gaya, not Bodh Gaya, Bhava, then there's one called Pabashingu. The two is called Monkey Temple. Because there are so many monkeys there. Easy to call that a monkey temple. So, but when you go there, you don't see a monkey going around the stupa. Monkey there to looking for the opportunity to take your bag if you're bringing some snack. One time I went there with my aunt, you know, brought some goodies in my plastic bag with the thought that I would enjoy when I get there. All of a sudden, second, gone. Look up on the tree, there's a monkey head. Looking down on you, what are you going to do now? You got nothing you can do. It's all hard tree. That's why they call monkey temples. So they are not there to create merit, but they call monkey the Fama Shingu. So those two stupas very much blessed, very much blessed, very much blessed. So the stupa in the Bauda in Kathmandu, that stupa was built by one woman. Can you imagine? Woman who sells like firewood for living. That woman built that stupa. Now thousands and thousands of years, so many people go around with all kind of different understanding, different level of peace of mind, different understanding, different knowledge, all walks of life, from old to young. You see every single day so many people. It starts from 2 o'clock in the morning, that people go round and round. Can you imagine? So people feel peace when they go round. So that's why I'm saying that Nepal is very much blessed because of those holy objects. Hmm? Still now, you know, so every single day, it's been holy days, there's like traffic jam. In order to avoid traffic, people go to 2 o'clock in the morning. 6 o'clock, you can hardly move around. That's, you know. So same here, we built that here. So you can go around, it purifies so much native karma. It purifies so much native karma. So easy to do. Please take advantage. It's okay, take advantage. Then if you really love your pet, bring your pet, go around. So I have altar in my room, not now. I set up my altars where you can go around. Because I do that, I did that because I have one cat, Koninje. I want to help her. So we go around. No, in the beginning, I have to give her a treat. So that's how I trick her to come around, to treat. Then you go come around, and also then one treat, then come around, then treat. So then it becomes habit. So then eventually I don't need to give trick. One round, no problem. So she look for me, and one place, the first place she checks the altar room. If she sees me there, she just come around. The second round, then you know she does all kind of things, like round. One time one of my friends, Julie, came, and Julie probably doing some prayer, going around. All of a sudden Julie felt something. Look, there's my ninja means compassion. I name her compassion. Julie felt something when she go around. There's ninja. It's coming around. Whoever goes around. So when I was leading retreat, 10-day retreat in California. So the ninja got very sick, and she got very skinny, very sick. The Gishisambo called me. They said ninja is dying. And then I asked Gishisambo what prayer to say, you know, do that, all that. And basically, ninja is like laying down on her bathroom. Her bathroom, little box, not bathroom, little box, barely breathing. And that's in the laundry room. Then there's the stair. In order to go to my altar room, the stair. Then Gishisambo said, oh, ninja is now barely breathing. And then Gishisambo read something. Ninja stood up from the little box, came all the stairs, went to the altar room and lay down on where I usually sit there, lay down there. And Krishna was the people will not believe, you know, if I tell them, they will not believe. So then, ninjas facing towards the window, and altars here, and pray a little bit, then somehow she turns again towards altar, and Krishna was said, both her hands like this. It's hard to believe. So then, you know, feel good, so that, you know, she did create power. She went around that altar every single day, at least one time every day. So then, you know, how many times goes, you know, so that's, you know, I think that's benefit I saw. So you can bring your pet when you go around, and that's one way to benefit them. So that you create this particular memory. This is very important. I've been seeing this again and again, you know, that, you know, if you go around one, when you come to the center, if you don't get benefit from my talk, that's okay. If you go one round, that's worth it. Then your time is not rest. You know, so more likely your time will rest here. When you go around this tomb, you are 100%, your time will be not rest. You purify. You create this Pavachati Gesa. The particular merit that will never be wasted. When the time comes, you will be liberated from all the problems for good. For good. That marriage will never get destroyed. See? Oh. So a long time ago, one of my friends from Mexico, her mother passed away. She has quite a bit of money. So she said, oh, Gisela, the mother asked me to give you the money. A lot of money. I said, we built a stupa in Argentina, Patagonia. We said, we built a stupa there. Use her money. Build a stupa there, so that not just her, not just me, all of us get benefit. So we built 35 feet, much, much bigger than this, 35 feet stupa, enlightenment stupa there. So now, and this, all the text is inside the stupa, there are many relics. So now many people come there, many people. And I told them they like to drink mate. You know mate? They like to drink mate. I said, just come with your mate. Just go around. Just talk. Drink mate, go around. So people now, you know, getting so much benefit, so much benefit. So mate. That's like, it's, you know, yeah, it tastes disgusting. Sorry to say, doesn't taste good. But people there is very much attached to that. They are very attached to that. I don't understand why they are attached to that. But they are very attached to that. Maybe they don't understand why Tibetan people are attached to butter tea. From the same butter tea, also some people say, oh, it tastes like disgusting. For Tibetan, it tastes very good. So we built now, there are, you know, 35. So next time when you go there, you can visit Patagonia, called Abuyen, a small village, middle of nowhere. It's beautiful, you know, very nice environment, very quiet. And, you know, people live there, very simple life. They grow their own vegetables, they live very simple life. Most like from 1960s, hippies. People there more looks like hippies. Smells a little bit, but that's okay. So they're very beautiful. So they hear, same, please go around. When we talk about conversions, you go around, when you come to Kadama Center, go one round with the mindset to betterment of all living beings. Then you create so much merit. So easy to create, so much merit, easy to create. Okay? So then that is going to be part of antidote, you know, part of dependence. As a Buddhist, we take refuge in Buddha Dhamma Sangha. Oh, so then there's power of dependence. So then power of the number sentiment of there's regret. Regretting towards something negative, not just guilt, doesn't have then no positive things. If you regret, purifies. If you feel guilty, I'm not sure, then you don't feel good. If you regret, they purifies. Second antidote. So then power of antidote, as I said, reciting mantra, reciting sutra, meditating on compassion, loving kindness, emptiness, going around the stupa, cleaning around the holy object, then, you know, like voluntary work for the center, that all purifies. That's part of antidote. Oh. So then some kind of commitment, you know, from now on, maybe next seconds, next minute, I'm not going to do. You know, I used to scream all the time, so maybe I'll be more mindful. I'm not going to scream that much. Yeah, you can control. You can control. If you can control 1 second, why not you cannot control 2 seconds? Logically, it doesn't make sense. You walk, you as a walk 3 steps forward, then maybe come back 4 steps backward, but it's okay, you still walk. I say, we are going to fail, but we don't give up. We continue. Don't give up, okay, but I fail. No, it doesn't matter. No, nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. So then purify. See, the feeling of, guilt. Guilt? Is there a difference between guilt and regret? Is that different?
Yes.
Regret. That's better, regret. So see, you feel something bad, that's like piece of aluminium.
Aluminium.
How is it?
Aluminium.
Yeah, so that's piece. If it's like this, you put on the water, it will sink. But that piece of aluminium doesn't have to be sink. What do? You flatten them, You make it flat. Throw, it won't sink. See? Feeling something bad in your heart. You don't need to get drowned. You don't need to drown with that feeling. You can make it flat. How you do? You purify them. Oh. With the mindset, you know, as I said, antidote, as I mentioned before, antidote. So there's some kind of commitment, okay? Next second, next moment. So I won't repeat. Sake of your happiness, nothing else. Sake of your own happiness, nothing else. You will not repeat that sake of your own happiness, that's all. If you cannot take care of yourself, you cannot take care of others. First you have to take care of yourself. Sake of your own happiness, for compassion to self-compassion, sake of self-compassion, self-love, self-kindness, sake of that, you purify. Okay, you purify. If you don't like that feeling, what you do? You purify them. So that's what we discussed about compassion. Okay, so then I'll stop here. So now time is way over. So, and wish you very happy New Year. A lot of good health, long, healthy, not miserable life, long, healthy, happy life. Then wish you prosperity, good health, long, healthy, happy life. Then I'll stop here.
In the Gold Prayer Book, turn to page 191, and we'll chant the praises to the 21 Taras, just one round, in order to remove obstacles to the light of the past retreat. Lama Buddha Rinpoche suggested that we do that. And Donna will count the people. Right, okay. From your sublime abode of the Potala, O Tar, born from the green letter Tom, your crown adorned with Amitabha, action mother of the Buddhas of the three times, Tara, please come with your attendants. The gods and demigods bow at your lotus feet, O Tara. You who rescue all our destitute, to you, Mother Tara, I pay homage. All my prostrate to the noble transcendent liberator. Homage, Tara, swift, heroic, Christ-like, lightning, instantaneous, from promoting demons of the Lord of your rooster, von lotus. Homage, she whose faith combines 100 autumn moons at fullest, blazing with bright, blazes, splendid. as a thousand star collection. Homage, golden, blue, and lotus, water born in hand adorned, giving effort, common charity, patience, meditation, mercy, crown of Tata goddess, action, triumph without limit, relied on by conquerors' children, having reached every perfection. Homage, failing with Tutare, whom desire direction and space, trampling with their feet the seven worlds, able to draw forth all beings. Homage, worshipped by the All Lord, Shaka Ani Bamamaru, honored by the host of spirits, closest to Skandavas Yakshas. Homage, with their triumph sound, destroying both magic diagrams, her feet present, left out right, and blazing in a raging fireblaze. Homage to the very dread Shavara of Mara's champion. She was frowning lotus visage, who was slayer of all enemies. Homage at the heart her fingers, adorn her with regal mood. Vibrating masses all excited, all directions fields adorn her. Homage, she so joyous, radiant, crowning mighty goddess of love. Mirthful laughing with Tutare, subjugating Mara's devas. Homage, she able to summon all her guardians assembly, shaking, frowning with her home. Fine, saving from every misfortune. Homage, crown adorned crescent, moon on autumnus push. Amitabha in her hair knot, sending out the light eternal. Homage, she with wreath ablaze, like the unending fire abiding. Righteous left and joys around you, troops of enemies destroying. Homage, she who strikes the ground with her palm and with her foot beats it, scowling with the letter whom the seven levels she does conquer. Homage, happy versus peace. She who sealed her speech nirvana, she endowed with omen soha, destroyer of the great evil. Homage, she with joy surrounded, tearing both bodies asunder, freezes human knowledge mantra, arrangement of the ten letters. Homage to Re with deep letter, of the shape of syllable, whom by foot stamping shakes the three worlds, Meru, Mandara, and Vindya. Homage holding in her hand the hemlock moon of Deva like form, with five spoken Tara M. Totally dispelling poison. Homage, you whom gods and their kings and the Kinnaras do honor. Armored in all joyful splendor, she dispels their dreams and conflicts. Homage, she whose two eyes bright with radiance of sun and full moon. With Vaitara and Tutare, she dispels severe contagion. Homage, full of liberating, powered by the set of three natures. Twist of the spirit, Yakshas, and raise corpus supreme Ture. These praises with the root mantras and prostrations of Sar 21. I'll turn to page 190 and we'll read the prayer of the benefits. Whoever is endowed with devotion for the goddess and recites this with supreme faith, remembering at dawn upon awakening in the evening, will be granted all fearlessness, will perfectly pacify all negativities, and will eliminate all unfortunate migrations. The multitudes of conquerors will quickly grant initiation. Thus endowed with its greatness, one will eventually reach the state of a Buddha. If affected by the most terrible poison, whether ingested, drunk, or from a living being, just by remembering will one be thoroughly cleansed. If this prayer is recited 2, 3, or 7 times, will pacify all the sufferings of torments caused by spirits, fevers, and poisons, and by other beings as well. If you wish for a child, you will get a child. If you wish for wealth, you will receive wealth. All your wishes will be fulfilled, and all obstacles pacified. I turn to page 246, with the dedication prayer from Master Shantideva. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of our merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be free. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the mysteries of the world.
Hello, I'm Elise from Outreach. Now we're ending an old year, start going into the new year. And with the new year, we always have a feeling of wanting to nurture hope that it will be a really good year. So what is hope? Hope is the conviction that we all can have. There's compassion and love and faith all around us, but we have to nurture it in ourselves first. And the best way to nurture that is to share it with others. Next Sunday, the first Sunday in the new year at 3 o'clock right here at the Kadampa Center, the Triangle Interfaith Alliance is having an interfaith prayer service, and people from many different faiths will come here and talk about their perspective of hope. So come, please, and share in this feeling of sharing with one another this energy of hope for the new year. Thank you.
And speaking of the new year, I felt the energy in the room when Robbie mentioned, you know, it's the end of 2018, and everybody's so glad to see an end to this year. And there's a great way that we can really get shut of the year, and that is tomorrow night, New Year's Eve, we'll have our annual traditional Dorje Kadro purification practice, where we can come and say some prayers and offer some black sesame seeds to, where's Dorje Kadro hiding? Well, to Dorje Kadro, and get rid of all our nasty, negative, gross karma from 2018 and be all nice and fresh and clean for 2019. So please come for that. That starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And then, do you want to talk about annual feeling, then I'll follow it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want Donna to be the last to speak. So there's just a couple housekeeping. There's a free ornament outside for everybody that we give away every year. It has an elephant on it, so that was timely. And Sunday tea is happening. So yes, it's white. That's good news. We're not offering a black elephant to you. And so then the Sunday tea is happening afterwards. And then I always forget the third thing when I get up. So I'll think of it. So this is really, really exciting news, and I did not even ask David to speak today because it would sound like I put that in as a plug. So, you know, we've been coming to you every Sunday with our needs and whatever. First exciting piece of news is we met our procrastinator pledge. So that's fantastic. So thank you to all those who gave towards that, so now we can receive that. The second is, like, I'm not going to cry this time. This is so thrilling. So we have a goal of 260 for our entire budget. That's the budget for the center. 204,000 is our goal for the annual appeal. We've just been given the largest gift we've ever received, ever. Well, I don't know, because it's for as long as I know. And it's brought us up to just shy of $10,000 left in our entire campaign of 204,000. So it's anonymous, so just applaud for that. That is so exciting. So we wanted to just let you know, so there's only 10,000 to go, so that's like much easier to fulfill than saying we had the big hunk to go. So that's it. That's the exciting news. And now,
okay, so as Jill just mentioned, nice lead-in, Jill, there's a goal for the annual appeal is 240,000, but our budget for the year is 260,000. So what gives with that? Why aren't we asking you for the whole shebang? And this is actually a great time to talk about that, because we're just in the middle of this season where, you know, we're all practicing giving. And this is to give us all an opportunity to practice kind of a special kind of giving. And if you're in a family that celebrates Christmas with a Christmas tree and Santa Claus, then you know that either when you were a child or the children in your family at this time of year have a very deep and concentrated and focused Santa Claus practice. They really want Santa Claus to come and give them his blessings. And so they're practicing
either generosity with their family and giving gifts to their family and friends, or they're keeping their room clean and they're saying, yes, mother, and they're cleaning their plate and eating everything on it, and they're trying not to fight with their siblings. And then maybe on Christmas Eve they leave a gift for Santa Claus because they really want to receive Santa Claus's blessings. And they do. I mean, that motivation makes them practice some of the good things that are in their heart. And so that's the same kind of thing that we're offering our members when we leave this difference between what we are asking you to give and maybe a one-time gift or kind of a, I won't say mindless, but, you know, I have a monthly donation that goes on my credit card, and I sign up for it, and then I don't think about it again. But I do practice Santa Claus practice throughout the year, and it's a wonderful thing, and that's why we keep this open to you. When a visiting teacher comes, when Venerable Amy comes in February, or Venerable Rabina will come in June, or, you know, if a visiting teacher comes and if we're blessed with a High Lama coming, then we can have that very special practice where we want to do something special to get that teacher's blessings. And so we make an offering through Kadampa Center to support having that happen. Or if we're having a puja, and maybe it's a medicine Buddha puja and there's someone in your family who's ill or somebody you really love who's died, and you want to get closer to medicine Buddha and really, you know, add some juice in your own heart to that practice, then making a donation and sponsoring it and supporting it is kind of a way of helping to focus your mind and make your participation in that really mindful and really focused. And so that's the piece that we leave open by not asking you to give everything during the annual appeal. So you'll have an opportunity during the year when something comes up and you think, oh, there's a puja coming up that I'm, you know, I really think about Medicine Buddha and I want to have some healing, or, oh, this teacher, I really want this teacher to come and I really want this to be successful for Kadampa Center so they can invite this teacher again. So that's why we do that, and I hope you'll think about that throughout the year and participate in it. Thank you. And have a very, very, very happy New Year.